Blog Talk Radio.
Right about now, NWA quarters in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy Motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
But won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that dick cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a cell. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You'd rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to tape off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole off bread and water. I don't know if they fagged or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop. Will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform. Just cause I'm from the CPT, punk police are afraid of me, huh? A young nigga on the warpath, and when I finish, it's gonna be a bloodbath of cops dying in LA. Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Testimony to the jury about this fucked up incident.
Fuck the police, and Ren said it with authority. Because the niggas on the street is a majority of gang. It's with whoever I'm stepping. And a motherfucking weapon is kept in a stash spot for the so-called law. Wishing Ren was a nigga that they never saw. Lights start flashing behind me. But they're scared of a nigga, so they mace me to blind me. But that shit don't work, I just laugh. Because it gives them a hint not to step in my path. But police, I'm saying, fuck you, punk. Right to shit, it's all junk. Pulling out a silly club so you stand with a fake ass badge and a gun in your hand. But take off the gun so you can see what's up, and we'll go at it, punk, and I'ma fuck you up. Make you think I'ma kick your ass, but drop your gat and Red's gonna blast. I'm sneaky as fuck when it comes to crime, but I'ma smoke them now and not next time. Smoke any motherfucker that sweats me, any asshole that threatens me. I'm a sniper with a hell of a scope, taking out a cop or two. They can't cope with me. The motherfucking villain that's mad, with potential to get bad as fuck. So I'ma turn it around, put in my clip, yo, and this is the sound. Yeah, something like that, but it all depends on the size of the gap. Taking out a police would make my day, but a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say.
Fuck the police.
Motherfucking jacking, sweating my gang while I'm chilling and distracting, shining the light in my face, and for what? Maybe it's because I kick so much, but I kick ass. Or maybe because I blast on a stupid ass nigga when I'm playing with the trigger of an Uzi or an AK. Cause the police always got something stupid to say. They put out my picture with silence, cause my identity by itself causes violence. So E with the criminal behavior. Yeah, I'm a gangster, but still I got flavor. Without a gun in the badge, what do you got? A sucker in a uniform waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. And as y'all know, E's here the rule. Whenever I'm rolling, keep looking in the mirror. And is on cue, yo, so I can hear a dumb motherfucker with a gun. And if I'm rolling up the eight, he'll be the one that I take out and then get away while I'm driving off laughing. This is what I'll say. Fuck the police.
Guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker.
Wait, that's a lie. That's a goddamn lie.
Get him out of here.
I want Jackson.
Get him the fuck out of my face.
I want Jackson.
Out right now.
Fuck you, you black motherfucker.
Fuck the police. Fuck the police. Fuck the police.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against a common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
All right, welcome to the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Siri Jr. Want to start off by thanking all my overseas listeners, Russia, Brazil, South Africa, India, and also want to thank my listeners in Canada as well as the U.S. and also my listeners on activatemedia.org and my listeners and followers in Boston, Mass. As you see, I opened up with NWA, Fuck the Police. That's what I'm on tonight. Followed that by the clip with Malcolm X on police brutality. Want to also thank my listeners who are listening online as well as those of you who may call in to listen. And if you are listening online and would like to call in to be part of tonight's discussion, call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, that's 914-205-5538. And you can press the 1 to join in on the conversation. And let's get into this. I'm sure by now that we've all heard about the Tyre Nichols situation. And that's why I played the song that I played. That I played in the opening. I don't know. I'm just a little bothered by the whole situation. This is not, nothing new to us, but having 5 black officers do to this young man what they did to him is disturbing. And that's putting it mildly. I would like to offer my condolences to his family, mother, to his parents especially. I relate because I've lost a child of myself, so it's unnatural to have to bury a son or a daughter. So I completely sympathize, and my thoughts and prayers and condolences go out to the family. And like I say, especially to the mother and father of the young man. These cops is out of control. They're out of control. And then the thing about it, that has come to light over the last couple of days is, because I know when I was watching the video, I was like, those are white hands shooting that taser. And I was right. I know I'm not blind. But the white officer, and I'm guessing that the 7th officer is white as well, because they didn't even show his picture. They just had a silhouette up. So what's bothersome to me is how quickly they acted. Not saying that they shouldn't have acted, because of course they should have acted. But also, with it being 5 black cops, we know that justice is going to be a little more swift for them, than it would be for their counterparts. How quickly we forget, about the Muslim cop. I can't remember his name, Muhammad Noor, whatever his name was. Anyways, up in Minnesota, when the white lady called 911 and they showed up and she was running toward the car and the Muslim cop shot the white lady, killed her. And justice for him was swift. It didn't take a year for his trial or none of that, like with these white police officers. And like even in this situation with Tyre Nichols, we have a white cop on the scene who fired the taser. And not only that, he is the cop, if you have listened to the video, he's the cop that said, I hope they stomp his ass. So this is, you know, like I say, not just another killing. This is just culture. And that goes to show those statements and those police officers' actions show the culture of policing. This is nothing new to those of us who are dark skinned. You know, it's nothing new to Black Americans. We have been saying this for years. And, you know, with the help of the internet and cell phone cameras, you know, the truth gets out more, but the truth still doesn't amount to justice for us. Now, we are about to see in this goddamn America just how biased and just how hypocritical it is. Because I can guarantee you one thing, that these black cops won't get no slap on the wrist. And this system has been looking to offer us up some cops. So these are going to be the system's sacrifice to us as Black Americans. And that just doesn't sit well with me either. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, those jackasses that did that young man like that, them punk cowards, should get punished, should be punished to the highest degree. But there have been several instances before this one where cops have killed unarmed black men. Maybe not in the fashion that these cops did with Tyre Nichols by beating him to death, but the end result is still the same. Death. It results in the death of an innocent black man or woman or child, for that matter. And I, for one, I'm sick and tired of saying names. I'm sick and tired of motherfucking hashtags. And you all will have to excuse my French, but tonight's show may be vulgar, which is nothing new to those of you who follow me from time to time. My passion gets the best of me, and excuse me. But I'm not sorry. I'm tired. And these cops keep getting away with it. And then to add insult to injury, you get in Hayden Harris, this murderer of black men herself, at this funeral. Sometimes things happen, and in my eye, they're just disrespectful and out of place, because she had no place at that funeral. She hadn't been worried about what's happening to us, but the cameras are shining now. The lights are shining now. She was more worried. She more worried about them damned Asians than she's worried about us. Look where her focus is. Pay attention to where her focus is. And I said this yesterday, anybody who voted for Ain't Shit Joe and Enhide and Harris should be ashamed and embarrassed. Because I told y'all asses during the election, ain't now one of them worth voting for. And I just am not going to pick the lesser of two evils. My integrity nor my pride will not let me do that. So you can say what you want to say. I'm not really in the business of being shamed. And you can say what you want to, but our ancestors didn't die for us to vote. and get that funky little piece of white paper that we get, because that's all we get. We don't get justice. And then I'm being Crump. He's showing up everywhere, helping, and this is my opinion, helping to exploit black death. Because what they're doing is not changing any types of laws. What they're doing is not bringing these families justice. It may get them a little money, but it's not bringing any justice, and it's not bringing about any change in the way we're treated. So I'm tired of the same old song and dance. But back to my point, these cops will be made an example. And why is it that these white cops in this situation are getting pampered? Why did this cop that fired the taser, the white cop that fired the taser, not get the same punishment that the black officers got? He was there. I don't care if he didn't participate in the beating. He helped instigate and escalate that situation. And that seventh officer, who we still don't have his information either. And I'm to a point now where when I get information, whether the white news media outlets have released it or not, when I get information concerning these killer punk ass cops, white, black, green, Asian, Mexican, doesn't matter. If I get the information, I'm exposing it. If I get the information, I am sharing it. I'm no longer, because I've gotten information before and I just sit on it. But I'm no longer going to set on information and names like that, because the media in this instant, it didn't take them 30 days or 60 days or 90 days to give out names and photos of officers like it usually does. And sometimes it takes even longer than that, just like in the case of Jaheim McMillan, case that I talked about a few months ago that happened in Gulfport, Mississippi. I had the officer's information, but I freaking deleted it. And I wish I had it now, because I would give y'all his goddamn name. I'm no longer going to hold the names of these punk-ass cops who keep killing us. I'm going to start giving them out and sharing the information that I get. Because if they can do this, five black officers, this needs to be the new standard. And any officer who commits these murders should get just that. And this shouldn't be second degree murder, brothers and sisters. This should be first degree murder. And if you haven't saw the tape and that shit makes you mad like it makes me mad, don't watch it. Because it's not as long as the Rodney King beating, but it is more brutal, because this young man was totally defenseless, hands cuffed behind his back, being held up and punched on and hit by these punk-ass cops. And not only that, no aid given. You got fire medical personnel that shows up and doesn't render aid. And this kind of threw me back to my uncle's case that happened back in the mid-90s up in Colorado. And fuck you, Denver Police Department. Y'all on my list too. They beat my uncle to death, and when the goddamn EMTs showed up, they helped restrain my uncle. So I really don't have no love for these goddamn race soldiers, and I got something for them. But I am just to a point where when is enough enough? And these types of situations have happened twice in my family. I had a cousin, Jonathan Price, from Wolf City, Texas, case that happened a couple of, about 3-4 years ago now, 3 years ago, going on 4 years. But anyway, victim of one of these race soldiers, killed, young man, by these race soldiers. And see, they let him go. They managed to put together an all-white jury in Greenville, Texas in 2022 for his trial. And the lawyer was Lee Merritt. I don't understand how an all-white jury can be picked in 2022 without objection, without strong objection. And then there was no justice. He was granted freedom, this officer that killed Jonathan Price. I'm really tired of justice for whoever. Justice for why we can't just have justice. Why can't we just have peace? Why is it that we continue to be victimized, and why do we keep allowing it? So this is what I want to talk about tonight, just policing. I touched on policing last week during my podcast. Oh, and I'm going to be touching on it again. Let me open up your mic here. I see you. I got so tied up in running my mouth. Okay, 5396, I got you unmuted. Welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Good evening, brother. Good evening. How's it going?
I'm good. How you doing, sister?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to be muting in between talking and stuff because I'm still driving. So let me know. Do you hear any feedback in my phone? Since I'm connected to the car, sometimes I have feedback.
No, you're coming through clear.
Okay, good. But you were talking about the case, and you were saying how could in 2022 or 21, I can't remember the year, we could have a whole white jury. You understand the system, so you know the answer to that. There is no opposition because who's opposing? The people who selected it are the people in charge. I mean, it's just simply that simple. It's just that cut and dry, actually. I won't even say we're bamboozled, you know, when you have black officials running for office and thinking, oh, they're going to get in there and make a change. I think before my time, people had that mentality, but now it's like we read through them before they even get elected or not, you know, but it's just what you have to choose from, you know? It's like, and it, I don't know, it's a lose-lose situation. This whole situation with Tyree, you know, I keep saying it's bittersweet. You know what I mean? Because
right.
It's in on one hand, they're moving so swiftly, you know, to try to give the appearance that they're doing something. On the other hand, you know why. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
On the other hand,
right.
Like you said, we know very well in other instances it would not move this fast. So it's bittersweet, and I'm just pretty much over a certain general of white people. Oh, all those officers were black, and y'all still make it about race. It's because you're too ignorant to know what's going on. It is very well still about race. It is all about this. Most of them have the house Negro mentality, You know what I mean? You think you got so much more to prove to try to be accepted by your white counterparts, who at the end of the day don't give a damn about you, because you, at, on one hand, will see Blue Lives Matter back to blue. Oh, what did he do? He shouldn't have ran. Coming from that general of white America, even police officers, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you typically see that even when we know we looking at footage and knowing these officers are wrong, you
right.
still met with, but if he wouldn't have ran, he wouldn't have, I'm not being met with that.
Right, right.
They're quiet.
I agree.
There is no back to blue. Me and Brother Kev was talking about that the other day. Well, me and my friend was talking about it, you know, when it first happened, and she's white, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
She probably was keeping up with it more than I have, because I just have had my fool, and I just sometimes have to press from, you know, just step back from everything and be like, man, you know, take
oh,
a
yeah.
breather. She probably been keeping me more informed than anything on it or whatnot. But
right.
and she pointed that out to me. She's like, I don't see the typical trolling from the white people when a black man is unarmed, black man is killed by the police. What did he do before? All you know, you're not seeing it. They don't care because you're black. They could care less.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
But now you're seeing that. Now you know. Now you know, and you're knowing. That all blue lives don't matter.
No.
Because they are not trying to support you at all.
Exactly. And that's another one of the double standards. And I don't know what had them brothers confused enough to think that they could get away with what
right.
white cops get away with.
Right.
But they're about to find out real quick, you know. Sometimes we get our nigga wake-up calls at the most unexpected times, and right now,
oh, yeah.
These brothers is definitely getting their wake-up call.
And they definitely are, now, that's for sure, and I that's the part that baffles me more than anything. You really thought in your head that you were this accepted by society, that you will be able to get away with this? I know they
yeah.
gave y'all your special unit and gave you instructions to go out here and rough up these Negro and this and the third. I know y'all have been doing this for a long time. Those aren't the actions of somebody who, okay, I just decided today. Even out of the rumored reason, because you know how they were rumored that he was supposedly involved with one of them, baby mama or whatever, and that they worked
yeah,
together. It could have
yeah.
been simply just that. Even who cares? Who
yeah, right.
cares? You do not have a right to do this
right
on the strength of that. So I mean, no, and I honestly feel like I felt like, as Brittany was breaking it down to me, that it definitely was something personal, because this man is not even blocked from his home. Y'all
exactly.
ambushed him. You were waiting on him. Yeah, you were
yeah.
waiting on him.
Yeah, I've been
added charges, upgraded charges, and like I said, it's bittersweet because you know why they deciding to process everything so quickly. But at the same time, I don't care to the fullest, because you the worst kind. This
True.
Is something like, you expect this out of white folk. You know what I'm saying? We already know that this policing force was put together specifically for black people.
All right.
Specifically.
Yeah.
So we expect this out of white police officers, even when they're not them kind of officers. You have to show me first. You know what I'm saying? My mind automatically
right.
goes to, oh, you can't be trusted. So therefore, you being black men, man, y'all are the worst of the worst for that.
True. I agree. Okay, I'm going to bring another, I see, got another hand up. Hold on. I'm gonna bring another one into the conversation, kid, but hang with me. And I'm going to leave you
okay.
unmuted.
All right.
8680, you are unmuted.
Hey, good evening, brother. Can you hear me okay?
Peace, brother.
Peace. How's the family and everyone on the line? Sister Kia, how are you?
Bill, thank you.
Yeah, it's amazing that, you know, the cognitive dissonance that we see going on right now with them trying to hide the fact that there was some white cops there too that took, you know, part in all of this. The black cops, you know, all I can do is call them traitors. You know, one of my favorite songs growing up was KRS-One's Black Cop, because he told us the truth about black cops and how they act. And then if you all remember the movie from The Menace to Society, they put it on screen how black cops act toward their own people. So, you know, when we put these white-looking black people, that's what I call them, when we put them on the force, you know, with all their self-hatred and all their insecurities, you know, and then you pull them out of other areas and you put them in a neighborhood, because if I'm not mistaken, I know people from Memphis, and I know that if you was from that neighborhood, you wouldn't pull it up on nobody like that, because you would be in fear for your own family getting some get back. You know, so the double part of this is that, number one, to me, it looked like a hit. That's what it looked like to me. It didn't look like no regular traffic stop. It looked like it was a hit. And if the rumors going around are true about the young man being involved with one of the cops' ex-girlfriend or ex-wife, you know, to me, they need to, number one, change the charges to first-degree murder.
Exactly.
You know, because it was premeditated. And number two, everybody involved, everybody that was there, needs to be fired today.
Exactly.
Today. I don't care what color you were. I don't care if you were black, yellow, green, whatever. If you had something to do with this young man dying, which he didn't deserve to, I don't care what went on. And I can stop finishing arguing over somebody dropping a video in my news feed about two white cops getting shot at by a white dude, and they took the dude alive, talking about these are the good cops. And I was like, motherfucker, I'm sorry. I was like, if you don't get off of my timeline with this bullshit, you know. And I was like, I don't usually respond to stuff like that, but I'm like, when I see another brother out here trying to praise cops in these days and times, I got to call them out. I got to call them out. I was like, yeah, they took the perpetrator alive, who was white, by the way. He shot at the cops when they were pulling away from him after they checked him, and they're backing up in their car, and the white dude, he shot into their car. And they took him alive. They took him alive. And you got some coon-ass dude out here praising them being good cops. I'm like, no, that's the one that they should have deleted, for real.
Yeah.
That's the one they should have deleted. I said, Tamir Rice, he didn't even get that type of consideration. They gave Tamir Rice 3 seconds before they killed him. And I could say a host of other names that will fill up a wall in a city block long. So I'm like, man, don't bring no good cop to me. I said, because to me, there ain't none. Like NWA said. And we know what they said, and I stand by that all day. F them. F all of them. I don't care what color you are behind that badge, because you've been trained to kill black. And on that, I'll yield.
I agree, because, I mean, I'm still to a point where, like I say, with the some of the cases that I'm familiar with, and like I brought up just a few minutes ago, you know, the Jaheim McMillan video, which is a situation that happened there in Gulfport back in October. You know, that's an open
that,
and shut
was
case.
Was that the young man that they shot in the head, brother?
Yeah, that was the young man that they shot in the head and let bleed out in front of the Family Dollar store. And we still don't have that cop's name. I heard he was on desk duty, still working, still getting a check. And Still no. Now, I did read that the family did get to see and view the body cam footage, and they were supposed to release the footage to the public in December, but they have yet, that I know of, they've yet to release that footage to the public. I haven't saw it, and I stay looking for stuff like that, especially, you know, once a case has been brought to my attention.
Yeah.
So, you know, like I say, that's just that bias, and that's why I say that that thin blue line don't work for everybody. And like I was saying, you know, earlier, like these five Negroes is getting a nigga wake up call, you know, because as long as they were doing it under the darkness of night, they were fine. But this one has made public eye, you know, national eye.
Well,
so, I say that they're going to make an example out of these cops. But, I mean, give me any cop, really, honestly, truly, because they're all the same to me. Black, white, Asian, Hispanic, they're all trained to target us. You know, they are all trained to harass us. So I don't really,
brother,
you know. Go ahead.
Brother, in the Rodney King case, did any of those cops get fired?
No. Shit.
That's why they had the riots, right?
Exactly.
That's why they had the riots. So my thing is, when people try to justify, well, the cops have been fired and they're going to stand trial, we still don't know what the trial is going to be like, what the verdict is going to be. Yeah, they've been fired. They're going to trial. That doesn't mean that they're going to be found guilty. We know how this system works.
Yep.
We know how this system works. The only reason they'll be found guilty is because they're black cops. Just like the New War dude up in Minnesota who killed that white woman. And he
That's
was justified.
Right.
He was justified. The woman came out of the alley. I think she had a knife in her hand. And he shot her. Because she was lunging at them. That dude, he's doing 40 years behind that.
The cop that killed her, right before the Derek Chauvin trial, they actually reduced his time.
Oh, they did?
The cop that killed the white woman, and I say they didn't do that for him. I actually
right.
did a podcast about that when I read that. Yeah, they reduced his time.
Oh, okay.
But, they did that because they want to set a precedent. And they did this maybe about 2 or 3 months before Derek Chauvin's trial. And I say, yeah, they did that so that they can go back and after Chauvin serves a little bit of time, they'll go back and reevaluate the case like they did with him and make a sentence reduction, you know.
Betty Shelby, the white lady that killed my dude on the side of the road, and the other cop that killed my man that was eating ice cream in his apartment. See, they're going to go back, and they're going to reduce all these cop sentences if we don't keep an eye on them. If we don't keep an eye on them. That's why I'm like, you know, the system is a sham, and qualified immunity needs to end. Qualified immunity needs to end today.
You kind of faded out then, brother. I didn't catch the last part.
No, I said qualified immunity needs to end.
Yes, indeed. Look,
yeah.
I was having a conversation with a black police officer who he did a video, and that's what made me address him, and then he decided to start engaging with me about it. And I wasn't impressed. I told him I'm not here to give you flowers for what you were saying. He's a former Memphis cop of 5 years, and he worked alongside of two of the officers involved in the Tyree case. Okay, he said, and he also had a personal relationship with two of them. My beef with him and what I could not get him to, he comprehend, I feel like, very well, was that seemingly to me, did try to make you know, give off that he thought they were dead wrong, this, that, and a certain other. But also on the flip side, it was one thing he said that caught my ear and I couldn't let it go, okay? He said he himself has had to snatch people out the car with guns drawn, using profanity at them, blase, blase, blase. He's like, you know, but it was the worst of the worst people, murderers, rapists, kidnappers. So that's what made me address his video. And I simply was like, what gave you the right? I said, what I was expecting to hear you say is, when you said you had used this excessive force on these people, I was expecting to hear you say, because your life was in danger, one of your counterparts are a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
But no, you said so simply because they are the worst of the worst. Who made you judge and juror? And this is part of the problem.
Right. Right. Yep.
So,
that is part. That's got a whole lot to do with it. And then when they see us, they see the worst of the worst. You know, so when he's saying the worst of the worst, what does he mean? Who is he talking about? And who were those encounters with primarily, you know, because some of these cops that look like us have just as big of a vendetta against us as their counterparts. You know, I have had run-ins with black cops before who were just the same kind of rude and the same kind of questions, you know, where do you work? Where you going? Where you coming from? And those are questions that other people don't get asked because they're the right complexion, you know, but they want to know our every move, our place of employment, which has nothing to do with a traffic stop. At all, you know, and the escalatory manner that any cop approaches us with, and that's any cop, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, when they see black, they automatically have a different method of encounter with us. As they do, just the approach itself. They see a white face in the car. Good afternoon or good morning. How are you? The reason I pulled you over, they never have to ask why they were pulled over, because when a cop sees one of them and pulls them over, it's you know, a completely different encounter. When they pull one of us over, the approach is, I'm in control. I'm gonna ask the questions.
Right.
You know.
Because black, they see threats. It's their automatic assumption. Because you black, you are a threat, no matter what. I don't care if you're 10 or 50 or 60, you know. You are still a threat simply because you are black. It was just so much that this officer said, you know what I mean, that just didn't sit right with me. In his mind, he felt like he was justified. And he, you know, sir, I have common sense. I'm not saying, say somebody killed somebody, they have y'all on a high-speed chase, you go and you have to practically slam into his car and snatch him out the car. Once you slam him to the ground, if you're able to get those cuffs on and he's not fighting, pulling, well, you have no right to then beat this man simply because he made you do your job and he made your job hard. That's my point in. And my thing is, you never specified if you were being hit or in danger. You simply said because they are the worst of the worst. And we're talking about people who might not even be convicted yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
and
like
then,
how do you know
It's insane, you know. Like I was telling you, I don't know if I told you, I was talking to Brother Kevin about the white woman over here a couple months ago that for 30 minutes plus, the police was called on her. 30 minutes plus, y'all talking to her. She pacing back and forth. Had she been black, when they got there immediately, they would have put handcuffs on you. They just want to try to, their favorite lines, you're not under arrest. We just want to see what's going on. Want to make sure everybody's safe. This helper walked around for 30 minutes unhandcuffed before she turned around and blew the brains out of both officers. But because she was a white woman, they did not see her as a threat, and it cost them their lives. Right here in Bay St. Louis. Now, initially, the story was she killed them. This was the news report, and turned around and killed herself. Then they, and I still believe that is exactly what happened. Then they want to claim the senior officer, because one of them was young. He was like 22, 23 years old, and he was like newly on the force, you know. And the other joker, I remember him. I see him a lot around. They claim he took a shot at her and killed her after she'd have shot him. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah.
She took herself out, and she took herself out.
Right.
Because you were so comfortable. You were so comfortable. But she,
yeah.
I think a couple, I know speaking to somebody who knew her a couple of days before that, she had a manic episode. They call it manic episode. I'm going to call it what it was. It was a drug-induced episode. You know what I mean? It's always mental. No, it may be mental, but it was induced by drugs.
Right.
She had a gun. Her friends and family called the police, told them she had a gun. She was in Ocean Springs then, and, you know, she was saying all kind of crazy stuff. Oh, they sent the police out. They did absolutely nothing. Had she been black, something would have been done.
Oh, yeah, because they don't.
Is when she ended up killing the other officers. I think that was late November or early December.
Right. And then
I don't care. People can't tell me this is justified. You know, oh, we don't do. I don't care. Per paperwork, no, it's not. But you know tradition. You know that thing your family do every holiday that they've been doing for decades, that your mama did with her mom, and tradition. It's handed down. They're handing down the same tradition from slave patrol days. They still living off that mentality. I don't care what this paperwork say, that, oh, you should do this, 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 and this, and you cannot do this. He brought up the whole Tennessee versus, the officer I was speaking to brought up Tennessee versus Gardner. Oh, the law was put in place to protect the citizens. How? When so many unarmed people are still murdered at the hands of officers, and these officers are not paying consequences behind it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what that law say, action is showing different.
Yeah.
You got to use that to justify that if a person was in the act of committing a felony and flee, then officer has a right to use. He kept trying to use force. No, we're not going to do that. You're using violence. Some force is an appropriate word for violence or a term for violence. No, it's not. I said that's just gaslighting and deflecting. Force is used to try to downplay what you're doing. Now, if you add excessive to it, when you say force, yeah, I'll give you that. If you add lethal or deadly to force, I'll give you that. Because force is, you can have force without violence. You need, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Dang, it takes force to the refrigerator, for crying out loud. But that don't mean I was violent with it. Two totally different things. And y'all, and I said, and I was like, if it's a proper term, it's a proper term only in law enforcement. To keep y'all from being accountable for your actions.
Yeah, because that's the biggest thing, accountability, and that's what I was talking about on last week's show. You know, there's no accountability. And then I ran across, I wasn't even looking for the story, but ran across a story that happened right over here in Texas, in Austin, Texas, matter of fact, on January 15th. Young man, Anthony Marquise Franklin, had a gun, true enough, but he tossed the gun, laid down on the ground. They shot him dead anyway. You know, so they're off to a grand start in 2023, you know, And my thing is, it's going to be up to us. We got to start doing something about this. I was looking at clips of the young man's funeral today, and I look up and I see this heifer that claims her Pacific Island heritage more than she claim any damn thing else, talking about we need bills passed. And she wanted a bill passer. Hell, the vice bill passer. They can write some legislation, and it doesn't even have to go through the House. They can make a presidential order, and make it overnight, just like they did with the anti-Asian hate bill, which I still don't understand, because white folks was hating on them, but they were trying to make it seem like black people were the ones that were, doing all of the mistreatment to Asians. You know, the media could always conveniently find the clips where there were black people. But in all reality, the percentage white people were doing more to Asians than any other ethnicity, you know, other than what Asians were doing to themselves, you know, because internal crime and internal fights is just going to happen because you're around each other more than you're around any other ethnicity. But long story short, it's just that's that bullshit. Excuse my language, but you know, it doesn't ever make sense, but it continues to happen, you know. So I mean, honestly, it's really getting to a point where I'm like you, sister, because I took a break. That's why I didn't do shows for about a month, because I just wanted to kind of take a break, clear my mind, kind of not even look for anything. But you still, you know, things still come into your circumference, even when you're not looking for it. And then with this plague of police brutality that we're suffering, this is something that we're seeing happen on a weekly basis now. I mean, just like I say, now here we are, you know, mourning the loss of Tyreek Nichols, and here we have on January 15th a whole nother young black man being killed for no reason. I didn't really, you know, I just happened to see the body cam footage on YouTube today, earlier today, and didn't really give a backdrop, just showed the body cam footage, and I said I was going to Google so that I could find out why they were even, you know, why he was even a target. Because it seems like we're always targeted. No, we can just be walking down the damn street, you know, and oh, he fit the description. I don't know how many videos I have saw where police have run up on black men. I need to see your ID. I need to see this. I need to see, you know, and you know, you fit the description of this guy that just did this or that or that or this, you know, and it's that same mentality, even with the black cops, you know, like you said, sister, earlier, you know, that thin blue line, that blue uniform don't change your color. And that's what these black cops need to understand. You know, you're not going to have that same qualified immunity as your white counterpart. You're not going to be allowed the same ability to be on desk duty, get that paid vacation like your white counterpart. And then it's being thrown right in their face right now, because We already know that there was one white cop on the scene, and I'm saying that the other cop was white because they are being so reluctant to release his name and his photo. But it took him no time.
He's definitely white.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Released his name, but the photo they have of him, is it looks to be outdated as heck. It's not. They never put a photo up of him. You know, you just Google his name, and a picture comes up, and it looks like it's outdated. But
right.
Yeah. You know exactly why. Like I said, they protect them. And just like you were saying about Jaheim's situation, no, I was looking for that article to try to see, but there was still no mention of him. He never got – he was never even suspended. He went immediately from the shooting to a desk job, a job around the station.
Well,
no remorse.
You know, they're just saying that he was relieved of duty. Them two cops were relieved. They haven't said that they were fired. So that means that they're still on the payroll, and they're being hidden from the public. And, you know, if people
I
are
can barely hear you, Ozzy.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. So they're purposely hiding these two cops, and if people are rioting, that's the reason why people are rioting, because the two white cops have not been fired yet. And it's not in defense of anything that the black cops did. They're just like, they want equal justice across the board. And once again, they've dropped the ball. They fired the chief of police, who basically was running the investigation. So my thing is, she's a black woman, so I'm like, you know, girl, you thought you was white too? You thought they wouldn't come for you? You know, so anybody that's black, they're getting them out of the picture. So, you know, I want people to just recognize that and notice that.
Right, right. All right, brother, I got your mic open. But yeah, this whole situation is
Well, we're back. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Okay. Couple of things about this whole thing bothers me. Real quick. Leadership starts at the top. So I'm gonna start with the chief. Chief got a history, which explains why she thought that she might be able to keep this from getting out. She was the head of a squad in Durham, North Carolina. That squad wound up serving a no-knock warrant, and a person was killed. It also happened again in Atlanta, and in that situation, another time she was in charge of an elite unit. And this time a 92-year-old woman was killed. So somehow her doing, by being part of, you know, leading these units, you would think that this would have created a problem. She seems to have moved up to become the chief in Memphis, where once again, this elite squad, they answer to her. So she can't act like she didn't know what their history was and what they were doing. It's just more of the, you know, having those extra violent cops supposedly to combat the extra violent criminal. However, there's another side to this. Find out that one of the cops basically targeted this young man because he's dating one of the women that this guy couldn't get anymore. Bothers me even more because now I see five cops who took a culture that was created by white cops to protect them for killing blacks and thought that it would protect them. So once again, I'm conflicted because, yeah, while I want them to be dealt with, I'm looking at why they're being dealt with and how. And once again, it goes back to whether it's a racial issue or not, it's being used the way it's going to be used. That's exactly what it turns into. Because one thing that all black people know is when some racial shit is happening right in front of them. And while we're seeing this happening, we want to be glad that it's happening for Tyree's family and for what happened to him, but we also want to look at the fact that the culture is going to use that same tool to rape these black men who deserve to be punished, don't get me wrong. However, they're using them as kind of like the illusion that some change is going to come. And that's the crazy thing. It never comes. No matter how many people have been killed, it never comes. What we're seeing here is if you drink the Kool-Aid long enough, then you start to actually believe that you are part of what they're claiming you're part of until some shit like this happens. Where is the police union speaking up for them? Where is the GoFundMe's? Where's any of that? Nothing. Silence. Chirps. So we got to look at the fact that we're being spoon-fed some bullshit again. If it wasn't for the poll camera, this shit would have been hidden.
Yep.
That poll camera forced her hand. She had to do what she had to do. It's not going to save her, though. And I don't think she's going to be a chief of police anywhere else anytime soon because
they
answer to her. They do answer to her. So she knows what they were capable of out there on those streets. And I'm not going to believe this was the first time they went crazy. Them guys looked like they were high on cocaine.
Yeah.
No, they fired her already, brother. And another, some more people have come out.
She needed to be fired.
Who had basically filed reports with internal affairs about this enforcement squad, but nothing was ever done about it.
I'm sure.
So,
because they had her covering up shit.
Tyree, by all intents and purposes, he should still be alive. You know, had he followed up and done his job on internal affairs, or been able to, you know, maybe this squad would have been, you know, disabled from the jump, and them cops wouldn't have been on the force. But they never do their jobs. They cover for each other because we the people, we continue to let the police investigate the police. And even when they release these body cams to us, they're heavily edited. So you can tell a
story
by
editing. We ain't did nothing,
something.
Man. We don't have no power. If we had power, we would already change this shit. That's how I know we don't have no power.
But, no, you have too many of us that are...
We don't know how to utilize it.
That are still on, you know, the officer-friendly tip. We got too many people that are still with the, this officer-friendly out here and not recognizing and realizing that the police... every day are becoming more and more like the military. Military enforces policy. Police are supposed to protect and serve. That was the original intent of them. They're becoming more enforcing government policy.
But it wasn't, though.
To keep blacks on the bottom.
I still don't know who they're protecting and who they're serving, so...
But that's the thing. That's artificial thinking that police original duty was to protect and serve. It was protect and serve the white people, and that's what it's still doing.
You didn't let me finish, sis. You didn't let me finish. They're supposed to protect and preserve our rights as citizens.
No, that's not what... That's not true. And until we get that in our head, we're going to keep having this false illusion. Because you're putting false information out there. That is not true. They were never meant to protect and serve us. Stop telling people that lie. They were meant to protect and serve white people, which they are doing their job very well. Now it's on us to do what we need to do to change that. It's been too long. They were never meant to protect us.
You're not letting me finish my entire statement.
Okay, finish the statement.
That's all. No, I want you to finish yours, and then I'll come back, because I don't want them to be stepping on each other, so I'll let you finish yours.
I mean, that's all I was saying is I didn't mind you finishing your statement, but
I'm saying please stop putting false information that the police were intended to protect and serve any rights or parts of black people, because they were not. That's a false illusion. That's all I'm saying, brother. It's false illusion. And it's harmful to us to believe that, because that makes us think we should be treated equal to them. We, in reality of our mindset, yes, but the truth is,
should we be treated
equally? It was never intended.
Should we be treated equally as everyone else?
Pardon me?
Should we be treated equally? Shouldn't we be treated equally as everyone else?
We may should, but it's a false illusion to say that they believe we should.
As everyone else.
What do you mean? In the sense of what?
You just said we should be treated equally.
We should have the same rights as everyone else and be left the hell alone like everyone else. We should be able to live like everyone else. But the truth of the matter is that's not what you were discussing. You were saying that the police.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
What? I mean, it just is what it is. I just corrected what you were saying, but I was just correcting that statement.
You're not letting me finish my entire statement. And my thing is,
well, I told you to go ahead, and then you said no. Go ahead and finish the statement.
Explain what I was saying.
Okay, explain. Go ahead, baby, explain.
I'm not a baby.
Hello?
Okay. My thing is, when we speak about the police and rights and terms and the way that they are supposed to be, I'm not saying that they are this way. If they were acting the way that they were supposed to be acting, they are there to protect our rights as citizens of this country. I already know that they don't do that. I already know that narrative is full of crap. I already know that. I'm saying suppose, in quotes. My thing is that the police force in this country is becoming more and more like the military every day, and people aren't recognizing them. What I saw them do to Tyree, that was some military stuff. That's the stuff that our military did to them Iranians over there and them Iraqis over there. That's how our military treated them. My thing is that if the American people, and I'm just not talking about black, I'm talking about everybody, and nobody's saying nothing about it. The police are becoming more and more like the military because they're not protecting citizen rights. And I already know that we're at the bottom, and they never protected our rights. I already know that. You're preaching to the choir on that. But my thing is that the more and more they become like the military, the more you can throw any rights you have out of the window. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. And with that, I'm saying is they're not becoming more and more like the military. What I'm saying is since the day policing was put together, what they're doing today, they did back then to black people. Nothing has changed for us. It hasn't gotten worse. It hasn't gotten better. It has been like this since the beginning. Back then, they were able to tie feet to ropes and drag us behind a horse. You know, they could do whatever they want to do to us back then, and they still are now, which is what I said a little bit ago. Regardless of what the paperwork says, they still live off the old tradition that has been handed down to them each generation. You know what? Military is tactical. Military is, what's the word I'm looking for? Organized. Nothing about what they do this is organized. They could be as sloppy as they want and still get away with it, just as they always have been. That's my point. This is not new. They never protected our rights.
If I could ask something, those elite squads that most cities have, it doesn't matter, you know, really where they are, those squads usually function mostly in high crime neighborhoods, which is usually the black neighborhoods, brown neighborhoods anyway. And they are kind of pressed to be, hyper violent. So it's kind of like that, you know, that just further pushes the culture that, you know, like I said, if you have to say Black Lives Matter, they probably don't. What I actually saw with them five brothers looked like five dudes who was really out to scare this guy, and that their intent from the time they stopped him was to harm him. I didn't see anything that he had done that deserved that level of aggression. You know, reckless driving, that's a silly-ass crime to you know, be that hyped up about. You already had his car, so to me there was ways out of this that it didn't have to go there if it was really that genuine. That's how I know it was a bunch of bullshit. Plus, for them to be the elite squad, they couldn't even half catch this guy. They all seemed out of breath after running about the equivalent of a half a block, which I was impressed that, you know, if this is the elite squad, all these skinny dudes out there are going to outrun them all day. You know, so they probably took offense to the fact that they looked very foolish as well in what they tried to do. And then when they did catch him, you know, that just made it worse. If it wasn't for the poll camera, I don't think we would have heard about this the way we heard about it. So the media plays their part, too. Because I can't think of a time that the media showed a video that they didn't watch first. And they claim they didn't see that one first. They played it, and they watched it with us. I've never heard of them doing that in my lifetime. They always watch it first to see what right. It does.
All yeah, and they watched it first this it. Time.
Hey, I'm sure they did. Come on. I would never believe that they didn't look at that video the moment they got it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
They had to, because when you showed it to us, it is harmful to me. It was harmful for us to watch that video the way that they showed it to us, considering how many they tried to hide. This one, you're going to broke it down, you know, like had a narrative after each one. Like, when did this shit happen? Y'all ain't never been like this before. You know, the Emperor's New Clothes comes to mind.
Yeah, that was that, because I sat and watched it too as they played each clip, and that was different. You know,
it was broken down.
When we got the Rodney King tape, and I can remember that one just like it was yesterday. You know, we got the whole unadulterated video uncut,
but not to show that shit.
Right, right. You know. And watching this video, watching this video was similar to that. And I mean, but it was worse to me because Tyree Irvin was completely defensive. I mean, Tyree Nichols was completely defensive, handcuffed behind his back.
I think he got targeted, bro. I think he was targeted.
I believe
one of those cops really targeted him.
Yeah, I was skeptical about those stories because I'm thinking, well, yeah, that's just somebody trying to change the narrative, you know. But then too, the more like it's like the last couple of days, that's like more and more people are you know saying that.
About them.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then
they find out
Tyree Nichols worked at FedEx, and so did this, whichever one of them cops' baby's mother worked at FedEx as well.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that makes
like
more
targeted,
sense.
Man.
Yeah, yeah. Because that did seem.
And that's why they deserve the death penalty.
Right.
Yeah,
that's why
exactly.
I'm trying to come away from the cop part.
I can take the cop shit out. I'm going to take the cop shit out completely. Let's say fuck it, that this is just five idiots out there who caught up with somebody they had a beef with, one of their people had a beef with, and now they got him. And they overdid it. He died. what would happen to them if they weren't cops? They would be charged and convicted. This is what should happen to anyone who doesn't, whether you're a cop or not. Bottom line. This should be the norm. If this was the norm, we wouldn't have too much to argue about policing. That would level the playing field. A lot of people would not be dead. Because I'm thinking them same cops at some point had a white guy calling them nigga while they arresting them. And that guy made it to the jail cell.
Right.
He made it to the cell calling them nigga the whole way.
You know, when we talk about how, you know, this system needs to be reformed or whatnot, and thinking about the conversation I was having with the black cop that I told you worked on the force with two out of the five cops. Something else he said, and for him, because when I was saying how it needed to be reformed, blah, 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 he told me, I'm trying to take away the power that the Supreme Court gives them. I said, okay,
right.
So now we get down to the real deal when it comes to especially y'all. Especially you black police, it's all about power. We already knew this, but you admitting it and don't even realize it. You're getting so frustrated because it's so hard for you to say we do need a change. You don't want to say it. You're not going to say it because it would take away the power you think you have.
Right.
You're not them. You have none of that power.
Exactly.
You're on a
right.
string. They pull you. They puppet you to do what they want you to do. They want you to go out here in these black neighborhoods and terrorize these black people. That's what you do. When they pull
if
a string and say that's enough, it's
here,
enough.
If it wasn't for black people being in America, there wouldn't be no black police at all.
If police officers, you know, they try to make it like it's black people and black areas, communities so high in crime. If, look, and this is just being real, if police officers patrolled white neighborhoods like they did black neighborhoods, stopping a car just because it's going by and calling it suspicious, man, they would have so much stuff. You know what I mean? They would have so many more things pinned against them that they feel like they have a one-up on us, drugs especially. In the cleanest of the nicest of white neighborhoods, drugs run rampant. I'm just speaking what I know for facts. You know,
white
it's like when you in a neighborhood all day.
In America.
Right. Never are. They're no threat. It's aggravating. And I'm just like, at this point, I'm over it. I'm not giving them no leeway. I'm not going to sit up here and play. I'm not going to play with them or us. Bottom line is, man, these jokers been doing this since the beginning, since they first landed on this piece of soil over here. And what has changed on paperwork is, but it means absolutely nothing. It's just a piece of paper because at the end of the day, they still get to practice the age-old practices and nothing being done about it.
If they policed white people like they policed us, they'd have a real problem because white people wouldn't stand for it as long as we have.
Exactly.
White people going to shoot
That's
back.
Right.
White people are going to
white
fight
lives
back.
Matter would be all over the place.
Yeah, exactly.
All over the place.
You know, that's the difference.
Should be on hanging from Denny signs, all kinds of shit. Okay.
I want to get y'all feelings on, because I kind of talked about her ass. But what y'all think about our vice president popping up at Tyre Nichols' services today saying the shit she said?
I usually don't think about her. I kind of forgot that she existed. Actually, that's the best move that Biden made in a way, was making her vice president, because I don't really see her a lot, so I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I agree. I just think it was hypocritical, you know, when they can make an executive order.
Football now, so they're going to use
it
because, you know, it's a political football that they can toss around. The Republicans, they can say some slick shit now to about the policing without looking like they're attacking any of their constituents. So, especially being this is, you know, kind of black oriented. Oh man, well they just hired some bad cops. That's, you know, look at them. It's a fucking gang. You know what the fuck is this, Harlem? You know, you know.
Right.
If it had been a little mixed group, that'd have been different. But no, you know, they got blacker and blacker. You know what I'm saying? So it's the world that we living in, man. This is America, you know. This is what we deal with every day. And it's funny how they keep trying to paint it like it's something else. And I'm just hoping that people keep their head about what they're being fed, because, you know, the object of America with us, it's always been about us being misled.
Mm-hmm.
So don't believe the hype, just like Chuck D said. You know? Don't believe the hype. They'll get what they deserve. It doesn't bring Tyree back. But as far as a change in how they police here, shit. Crazy. They didn't give them tanks. They didn't give them tanks so they could be more peaceful, okay?
Yep. And what I'm going to say, another, I'm going to say something else that kind of bothered me, and that's been bothering me. And even I watched the clip of the funeral today, and even today they were saying the same thing. And I'm just going to say this right here, y'all. Y'all know me. And if the police roll up on me and kill me, if y'all peaceful, I'm going to come back and see y'all in your sleep every night. Because if the police kill me and y'all peaceful about it, I'm going to be mad at y'all. Yeah. I don't want no peace if the police kill me. And today at the funeral, his brother said, you know, Tyree would want peace. You know, his dad said it. His mom's been saying it, you know. And I'm just to a point with that, too. Why is it that these motherfuckers can be as ignorant and foolish in treatment with us as they want? We always got to be the peaceful, the forgiving.
Exactly.
You know,
I'm sick
and
of
we
cook.
See that in so many cases where, you know, these people can't even really grieve correctly because you've got all these other influences telling them, yeah, you need to say this and you need to say that and this and, you know, that bullshit to try to keep peace when these motherfuckers that's supposed to be keeping peace ain't even trying to keep peace.
The more you say keep the peace, the more money you get for your relatives. That's the game.
Really?
Watch the payout. Watch the payout.
See, silence is golden.
I was wondering if, you know, they prep them, you know, the chief or whoever is over investigation, FBI, you know, talk to the family, like, you know, we want to kind of keep things peaceful. If you could just kind of, it didn't make sense. That make a lot of sense. Because you're absolutely right, brother. Every time, it's always, you know, just, and it makes me sick to my stomach because it's that age old image of, you can't be acting like this in front of them white folks. Why? This is how they act. What you mean?
It's like,
and that's what I mean. I am so sick of us. I you know, I'm starting to be just as upset with us as I am with them. I am.
We continuously play our part. That's why. We always play our part, and we play it well. We play it well. We are so predictable that if it was a football game, they would score touchdowns on us every play because they'd have a copy of our playbook. Why? Because they dictated our playbook. Our playbook.
Right.
The playbook, if you play by it, then you get your check. You get a little bit of relief. You agree not to say nothing for so many years, and then you get to tell your story and do what you do. But they needed to get into, you know, into the rearview mirror as far into it as possible. So it's like, you know, it's kind of like all this stuff, like with the Derek Chauvin and all of that. There'll be a little period where you'll see a couple of those movies come out, and they'll tell the story the way they want to tell it. They'll repaint it so that it looks a certain way, and it kind of feeds the narrative, but then they're doing it because they need a certain market share. They need to know that they can sell so much advertising while they tell this horrific story.
Right.
All these things, they always come to pass with this shit. It's never changed. And the thing is, we've never allowed it to piss us off enough for us to really do what would change it. Basically been victims of it and played along and complicit with it. So, you know, I mean, we don't have the same reaction depending on the murder. We go by what they show us and how pissed off we get at the moment. And all of us, the problem is all of us never get pissed off at the same goddamn time.
Hmm. Yeah, that and not enough of us.
Then which leaves me to wonder, what is it going to take? Like, what is it going to take? What more can they do to us?
Hmm.
A miracle. That's what it's going to take. I'll tell you, a goddamn miracle. Because until these Black Lives Matter to black lives, then they won't matter to nobody.
Well, don't look now, because they're hiring immigrants to be cops now. And this is the last call before they actually go RoboCop on us. And we know who's programming these robots. So just get ready. Get ready.
Yeah, it's definitely something over the horizon, as it always is. It's really, really time for preparation. Something that we're not doing. We're not preparing ourselves for what's coming. We're not even prepared for what's happening to us right now, sad to say. But we're not, you know, not enough of us. Some of us are still in that mindset, I believe, that these motherfuckers is going to change. And after 400 years of having a foot in your ass, they not going to pull their foot out your ass if you comfortable with it being there. And what we got to do, I guess we got to stop being comfortable with the shit that we get and start being a little more uncomfortable and about it. I don't know. That's just a real good question. And I ask that question all the time. You know, what will it take? I honestly thought, after watching that George Floyd tape for myself, that was going to be the one, because that was so eerily similar to watching a man hang from a tree and kick till he can't kick no more, you know. And yet and still, here we are right now, you know, and with the Tyre Nichols. And not only that, the one I was just talking about that happened in Austin with the young brother Anthony, who was shot, who laid down on the ground with his hands out to his side and was still shot to death.
Right.
So, you know, what? And I don't promote violence. I do promote self-defense. But the only thing that's going to change the way we're treated is enough of us standing up and enough of us saying enough is enough. Enough of us starting to speak their language as opposed to just waiting on a damn conversation. We need to be the starters of the conversation and speak it in their language. Because, you know, they only understand one thing, you know. That's all they understand. I'm really convinced that white people have no perception, of peace. because they've never lived in it. And all they have ever done is
wreak havoc. We all got to get on the same page for that to work. For that to work, black people got to be on the same page on when this shit happens, that we all react to it, not some of us, all of us. And that's where we lose, because those that are not reacting to it usually outnumber those that do.
Yep.
So it moves deeper into it. We just put it with the rest of them, and here come another one. And that one will piss some people off. And there's always that one that, you know, ooh, these motherfuckers. And then everybody goes right back to, you know, we're hearing it again. It happened here, blah, 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 whatever. And I'm like, this is the way that they're weeding out the bad cops. It's bad for us. I know that.
Huh.
It's bad for us because if we have to die for you to find the bad cops, then you're all bad cops to me.
Exactly. The cash company,
that's what that poll camera caught, was criminals doing some criminal shit.
Yep. Yep.
So I ain't mad at certain shit, but then I don't understand why we, you know, the same question everybody else has. Why don't we take advantage of these situations when we could be used to our advantage, mm-hmm. and instead we still wind up with more weight thrown on the shoulders, less mm-hmm. justice, less everything that we deserve when they tell us all of this bullshit about, oh, you're part of our country and this and that, and celebrate Black History, my brother. We hear all of that bullshit, man. I need to see real change so that I know that my grandbabies ain't going to have to put up with a lot of the bullshit that I had to deal with, that my mother, my father had to deal with, and their parents, and everybody else is on this call, it the same shit. Because basically what we're guilty if we're leaving them the same shit we had to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. And our ancestors tried. But our ancestors, exactly, and we owe it to those behind us to give it just as much of a try as our ancestors. But a lot of us don't see it that way. A lot of us, I think, are in the mindset that the problem is going to fix itself. A problem left alone.
Somebody else should fix it.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. You know, no problem has ever fixed itself.
Never.
You know.
Only Mother Nature does that. We're not Mother Nature. We're a virus to this planet. We took more from it than any other species. Still taking shit. Fucking up what's left. Can't drink the water. You can't breathe. You can't eat the fucking food. Don't know if it's real. They making shit.
Right.
And killing it. God, can't go shopping Target, the worst place in the world. You get shot up going to Target. I'm surprised they shot anybody. There shouldn't even be nobody in Target.
And then they're fixing the start.
You can't do regular shit. You can't go to, can't do that. Everything costs more, and they still want to pay you less. And, oh, well, you know, yeah, everything's going to go. You know, everybody's still getting sick. All the bullshit that was going on is just like, hey, America, you can handle it. That's what it is, I guess.
And they've got lab meat. They've got lab meat on the horizon. I'm not lying.
Everything is lab.
L-A-B, lab meat. They fixing to start creating meat in a motherfucking lab and feeding it to people. Yeah,
I feel like we don't have a lot of time. You know, we don't have a lot of time to figure some shit out because the attack's been on. It's just I can't understand how people could be so complacent about it when evidence is there every day, and then usually they don't really trip until it hits somebody close to them, and then, oh, we got to do something. Should have been wanting to do something before. You never know what it might have changed.
I've said that so many times because what we continue to ignore, you know, what ain't on our doorstep can make it on our doorstep if we continue to ignore it. Because I guarantee you that Tyre Nichols' family never thought it would be them. Brother Anthony down in Austin, I bet you his family never thought it would be them. Tatiana Jefferson's family, Breonna Taylor, I bet they never thought it would be them. But be damned if it wasn't.
It is.
You know.
That's right.
And like you said, brother, as long as we stay, remain complacent, that shit's only going to multiply.
That's it.
And there'll be more hashtags. And there'll be more, let's get justice for so-and-so, justice for so-and-so. You know, the same cry.
Look, they tell us how they feel every day. They've sent in tanks, and they sent in money to Ukraine and letting them flood in the country at any rate they like. Meanwhile, Somalia is going through some famine, and even though the U.S. gives the most, they still ain't giving enough.
Yep.
And them people are starving over there. And, you know, we know why. I mean, it's obvious what the deal is. You know, they can't wait to help push their democracy over here in Russia. But yet, while they worried about China buying up all of the shit in Africa, rather than go over there and feed the people who you colonized, fucked with, and enslaved, you'd rather let them starve.
Right.
While you show the whole world how hard you're willing to fight for Ukraine. Because you ain't give none of them countries in Africa none of that support when they were in war. Because you didn't care. You already had a lock on the resources, so you didn't care if the people killed each other. But wherever you don't have a lock on the resources, then you care. We win their hearts playing Vietnam, hearts and minds.
And they are allowing the Ukrainians that are coming here to apply for SSI. But they don't have no reparations or nothing for us.
Why not? It ain't their money. It's your money.
You understand? Exactly. Exactly. I just read that today or yesterday, you know, and I was like, well, I'll be dang. That was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are allowing them to apply for SSI.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your money.
So this is the slap in the face that we always get, you know, not just from the policing. We get this slap in the face from every aspect of this system. This system, like Sister was saying earlier, Sister Kia, like this system ain't for us. Nothing about this system is for us. And I don't understand our participation still in this system. I don't understand why we continue to pay taxes. They ain't never got shit for us, so why should we keep having shit for them? And if enough of us get on board with that shit, how they going to stop us? How they going to stop all of us? Like you say, Brother Kevin, if we all get on board, just like that Montgomery bus boycott wouldn't have worked if all the black people in Montgomery hadn't participated. It took all of them to get that done. And that's what we got to get back to understanding. Like, let me go on and throw in my catchphrase. I ain't said it. We need each other out here. God damn. And as each day goes by, we're going to need each other more and more. And it seems like the more that we need each other, the further damn away from each other we get. You know. So, yeah, it's frustrating to say the least, you know, that we don't even recognize the danger that we're in. And we're in danger. We're in constant danger. You know, our natural enemy is winning, and we're letting him win. Everything has a natural enemy, and ours is that Caucasian. And this system, those who govern this system. So we really got to recognize, we just got to really learn who our true enemy is. And then not only that, we got to act accordingly, you know, because there's so many instances, I say, that had we acted accordingly could have been prevented. Like, I go all the way back to Trayvon Martin a lot because I say if we had reacted correctly, when Trayvon Martin lost his life, we could have prevented Tamir Rice. We could have prevented Mike Brown. We've got to learn and recognize our power. We should know that by now. We helped get this janky-ass president that's in the office now and his sidekick. If it wasn't for the black vote, he wouldn't have made it. That's power. You know, they wouldn't have won Georgia. Warnock would not have won had black people not come out in number. Number is power. And,
exactly.
And also, our money is our power. Because we keep begging them for reparations, not saying that we don't deserve it, but we keep begging them for some shit we can give ourselves. And if we start pulling ourselves together and galvanizing, yeah, we can change all of these police departments from east, west, north, and south, but we got to get started. And that seems like the most impossible task to accomplish right now. Getting started, getting on the same page, you know, staying on code like these white folks still on code. They still on 1619 code.
They fight, disagree, have it out, but they still manage to hold it together enough to maintain control.
That's right.
This is something that I was thinking of a couple things while you fellas were talking. One, my mind reverted back to Brother Ozzy saying how, you know, and I think you said it too earlier, how immunity needs to be, you know, actually disbanded, but we all know this. And so, like, when do we decide to take measures to do that? I mean, you have organizations such as the NAACP. You have people like Ben Crump. I mean, what is the first move to be made to try to have that done? I think about it because I think about different laws that are put in place, the whole Tennessee versus Gardner, different laws, things like that, that came about because of certain situations. You know what I mean? That law came about because of Gardner's son, 17-year-old son, being murdered by a police officer unarmed, okay? So now, next step is how do we get to, I mean, what do you, make a petition and have somebody sign it, take it to the lawmaker? Like, how does that work? Because I feel like something needs, some type of motion should be done in that area. Two, I was kind of thinking something along the lines of also, I was thinking about community. In Mississippi, there's this little private, they call themselves a private community, Diamond Head, which they are. It's a small community, got their own shopping centers, they own police, they own fire department. They're their own community. Only thing is that they're not entitled to any government funding when things happen, like natural disasters, things like that, because you are your own community. You provide that for self. You know what I mean? And
right.
I think part of the issue is we really need to stop worrying about all coming together and worry about those who are already ready to come together. You know, you go always have some slackers. You go always have some bootleggers. You go always be there, have that one with their ear ready to tell a master what they doing over here. So I think that a start should be where we just worry about like-minded people, and eventually you jump on board or you not. You know what I mean? But I think there are enough people in this nation, enough black people whose minds are open enough to see the things that we see.
I agree.
You know what I mean? That we can push forward with, like, you got us outnumbered and you got us outnumbered in army, but come on, we got the same tool you have, and that's the brain. And history said that's what pisses me off about us so bad. Sitting and having a conversation with a certain general of white people, you can tell they are senseless. They are ignorant. It's a certain group of them, they have no knowledge of anything, and you filling them in on it, and then, you know, they have their aha moment. So that's what pisses me off about us getting played and beat by somebody who knows absolutely nothing.
Right.
But how to destroy.
Right.
So we have the tool we need, which is the brain. We have, man, the street jokers have common sense and mentality to make something happen. So why are we acting like we don't have what we need? At least start the process, because that's what it's about, right? We might not see the end result, but if he's starting the process, MLK, I'm using him for lack of a better example, not something I really, MLK started the process of one, whatever his vision was. He didn't live to see it, but eventually this part came to pass. Now we can mingle with white folks just to be still treated like we ain't supposed to be there and all that extra stuff he was pushing for. But at the same time, we have the ability to start the process. Even if we do not finish it, that's the problem. It seems like we've stopped. I mean, since the 60s, we've stopped the process. And that's the problem. I was sitting here thinking while you fellas was talking, man, just going back. Each generation, you know, they rolling with some part of the process, trying to move things. And it seemed like we just stalled. We got stuck on marching and that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So they did what they did so we can have the mindset and the knowledge to, like you said this before, we're here to do something totally different than what they did. Each generation is supposed to. But we dropping the ball.
I can agree with
that. That's all I have to say about that.
I agree with that statement, and I've actually did a live about that because I think that, you know, like Brother Kevin said earlier, you know, I don't want to leave on the table a mess for my grandkids that I could have cleaned up, you know. And I think really that's where we have all got to get. And I agree with you too, sister, because there are a lot of us out here that are and have been awakened that see and know what need to be done. And I'm in agreeance, yeah, we really do need to start linking up, not just in your communities, but, you know, we need to start linking up nationally. You know, globally, even if possible, because, you know, what affects one of us affects all of us. You know, every time we lose a brother like Tyree Nichols, that affects all of us. Every time we lose a Breonna Taylor, that affects all of us. You know, Botham Jean, Sandra Bland, Alton Sterling, that affects all of us. You know, not just that particular family and those close to those that lose their lives, because that in turn plays on how we're going to continue to be treated, looked at, spoken to, the things that we get and don't get, the treatment that we deserve and don't deserve, you know, all of those kind of things, it really can be obsolete when we recognize our power, you know, and I know that may sound crazy, like what power, regardless of, you know, what we have financially or physically, we still possess power nonetheless. Like I was saying, our money is power. Hell, you just spoke on our intellect, Sister Kia, our intellect. We are some of the world's greatest thinkers. You know, and like you say, hell, you got block boys out here with common sense, business sense. But what it is it needs to be redirected. And then, too, we have got to figure out a way to reconnect with our youth. And then we've got to instill hope back in them, you know. We've got to give them a reason to dream again. You know, we've got to let them know that, no, this ain't all it is to it. You can make your utopia. You can make your destiny. It doesn't have to stop with where we're at, because there's so much more that we have to get, and there's so much more that is coming to us. We got to get ready for it. And first things first, working together, learning how to just work together And then, like I say, be on code. Stay on code. Because what we have got to stop doing is hoping that America will change. Because America is not going to change without help. And we have got to be that help, if you understand what I mean, to change the condition. Because nothing changes without someone changing it or something changing it. So that's really what we have got to focus on. And then not only that, we've got to stop sugarcoating things to the youth. Give it to them straight, direct, unadulterated, so that they'll know who and what they're dealing with and how to deal with it mentally, physically, in every aspect. How to outthink your enemy. Because just like you said, yeah, they are some of the smartest dummies, that's what I call them, that the Most High ever put on this earth. They think they are so much more superior, but they ain't nothing but some smart dummies that have been taught everything they know. And they take that lesson and gift that people have taught them and use it against them for bad. The devil, the goddamn devil, is who I just described. And he here. And we deal with him every day. And they ain't just white. Some of them look like me and you as well. So, you know, I think that we really just got to refocus. You know, unlearn and relearn and really put 100% into us and stop trying to be so inclusive of everybody else, because nobody includes us. And truth be told, we ain't never needed nobody. Everybody has always needed us, period. We know how to struggle. We built for the struggle. And the struggle runs from us, because the struggle ain't never conquered or defeated us. The struggle has slowed us down, but it ain't never beat us. It ain't beat us yet. We still here. So with that being said, I want to thank you, Sister Kia, Brother Ozzy, Brother Kevin, for calling in. I got about 2 minutes. So I'm going to close things out. Good dialogue tonight. I mean, we really, you know, got to keep this up. One of these shows, we going to come up with the proper solution. And it's going to be like, oh. And then we're going to have to start manufacturing that and distributing that. Because it's up to us to be the bearers of truth and the seekers of justice and what's right, because we living in a world that's all wrong. So that being said, I'm gonna close out like I always say in closing. Let's plan, let's organize, and let's unify, y'all. We can do this. We all have a key. I will be back next week. Don't know what day yet, but I will be back next week. I want to thank everybody for listening, all my overseas listeners, my listeners in Boston, Mass. It's been another show. It's been the Panther Party Radio Network, The Big Picture with Melvin Sherry Jr. Thank y'all. I love y'all. I'm out. Peace, power, and love.
Whoa, oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north to south and east. Whoa, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. No, no, oh, well.
stranded on the ocean and upon our sea, fish full of mercury. Oh, oh, mercy, mercy, me. Oh, things ain't what they used to be. No, no. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby all the night. Oh, mercy, mercy, me. All things and what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more we use from man? Can't you stand?